Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio today is Pat Hamilton. Good morning, Pat. Oh, my goodness.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing wonderfully well. Doing
it
well.
Really helps when you do that.
It does.
So glad to join you this morning on the morning drive, or maybe in your office this morning when you're kicking back with a cup of coffee. We'll give a shout-out this morning to Joanne Padilla right there in New York City. The New York Presbyterian Hospital. Wonderful, wonderful city there. They're so blessed to have you. And we'll also give a shout-out or a hug to you, Joanne, but pass them as well to Tyler. Let him know we love him and we're thinking about him and just love to even hear his testimony of what happened up in Jersey. But also, congratulations to Michael on getting on the NYPD, the police, up there in New York City.
Awesome.
We'll be joining in just a moment. Congratulations also this morning to Pastor Brett. Brett Holderbaum, your first day at your God-given job at the Great Lakes Airlines.
Awesome.
Enjoy, enjoy. We feel safe knowing that you'll be the one that keeps those planes in the air.
Amen. Amen to
Woo!
That.
Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, for this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you are tuned into the VFN radio station this morning, and I have Pat Hamilton joining me in the studios.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much to be able to share today. God is doing so many wonderful things, but first I want to give a big shout-out to the VFN family that's all around the world. I want to encourage you also to remember the Do Space and go in there and give a shout-out and a prayer and a and just a how are you doing to all the wonderful VFN family that's scattered across the United States and now the world. Also, I want to give a shout-out this morning to Jackery and Amy in Okinawa. We love you. We're excited about you coming back to the States. We're hoping really soon we'll be seeing you come into South Carolina.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, we had a wonderful time spending some time with Pastor Steve Kolaszewski, and we're going to be able to hopefully today be able to share some of that with you, and also a wonderful time also with John Ramos join us in
yes.
On Tuesday.
Yeah, that was great.
That was so exciting, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was. Sure was.
My goodness. And it was interesting, too, because we're going to talk about, you know, we shared some of the prophetic words that's taken place and some of the things that God's been sharing with us, and we have a whole bunch of things we want to share, but, we shared it with you, and today we're going to be talking about what happened in the news today. When you saw the news today, that they're talking about the key word. Remember, the key word's dominoes.
Right.
And that was the word that was given some time back and one that God confirmed with John and myself. And you can find out, actually, you can see it on the VFN TV application on your phone. Or you can, I don't know if you can go yet to VFNTV.com and see that or not. But
Not yet, but it will be there.
Yeah, you can actually go to VFNTV.com, VFNTV, your phone application, and you can get the word. The prophetic word that was giving, and it's going to be suddenly. One thing they talk about, you know, is that it's just suddenly when it takes place. And so know this, that if your hope is in God and everything is His and He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and there's just he's doing what every believer wants to see done, getting everyone's attention and saying He is God, He is merciful, He is kind, He is forgiven, He is loving, and He's the one that's been providing for us all along. So we're going to be sharing that with you today. Also, I want to be able to say this morning to those that are down in Lakeland. I want to say hello to those in Lakeland, Lakeland, Florida. I also want to say hello to Miami. We're excited to have you on in Miami, Florida. It's encouraging to see what's happening. I don't know if you actually got a chance to hear my my human fishing pole story, but you actually can see that today. And the highlights are so cool because, you know, we have a first hour and an extra hour that we're able to do. And sometimes you just don't have a lot of time. And so you can go to the highlights on your VFN TV app and listen to VFN Radio. You can listen to VFN Radio live from your app, but you also can listen to, you know, highlights. And like I said, you can listen to that prophetic highlight, but you also can hear the adventures of a human fishing pole. Find out what it's like to be a human fishing pole and how revelation actually comes to you in the midst of stupidity. No, oh, my goodness. My goodness. The Lord is good. I want to say this morning that, you know, we want to keep an eye on our leaders and what's taking place across the land. But it was exciting and encouraging to see last night, the governor of Wisconsin, you know, who they have a new word they're kind of honing now that is called a T-evangelist, you know, kind of a cross mix between somebody who has the values of conservatism. I love God and believe in God's values, as does the governor of Wisconsin, the professor of the Tea Party, but he also is a pastor's son. He's a PK. And he openly acknowledges God and just his hope is in God. And so he stands up for our values, well, we would. And there was a big battle because he already got elected as governor, but now they were going to actually try to come in again and take him out of office to a recount or whatever. So he actually is the only governor in the history of America that was elected twice in the same term.
Wow.
And so it's encouraging because he won by a significant margin, which means that, you know, we're choosing God. You know, when somebody has the values of God, and that's what we're talking about, we're not choosing people. We're just saying this man, you know, stood up for our values, and America came and said, we stand with you, because a lot of the people came from all around the country to be there in Wisconsin, and to be able to say, we stand with these values. And it was just a resounding, encouraging word that, you know, if we as the church, you know, stand up and say, you know, we love God, we're unashamed of him, and if we have sinned, and, you know, we have, you know, we need to be able to say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. You know, we acknowledge that you are right in saying that we are wrong, and we just want to ask you to forgive us and to restore us, Lord. We want to live your way and begin to declare over the nation and say, God, we want you to take this nation back. We want to glorify your name. And God just is amazing. You know, we'll have coming to VFN TV soon, you know, should I not be concerned? Should we not be concerned? A call to action is going to be on VFN TV soon. You can actually get that by becoming a VFN TV subscriber. It's free. You just go there to VFNTV.com and subscribe. It'll be available to you really soon. But, you know, Jonah, you know, was called to a great city. And you know, a lot of people wouldn't have called it a great city. Jonah didn't call it a great city.
Right.
You know, he actually said that, and he was right in what he was saying, but yet he was wrong. He was right in saying that the city was wrong. Mm-hmm. He was right in saying that you need to stay away from that wrong. And he was right in saying that they're about to be destroyed. God's about to destroy them. I was totally right.
Right, yeah.
But he was wrong in not understanding God was still concerned about the whole thing, and he cared about this great city, Nineveh, have 120,000 people. And so let me encourage you, you know, despite all, you know, what God's saying and what's going to happen and these things being accurate, God is concerned about America. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about the people. If he's concerned about 120,000 people in a city, he's definitely concerned about a nation who is scattered with Christians all over the land who are praying and who we have stood with Israel despite our leaders making decisions not to. And hopefully, you know, in the future, we'll have leaders that stand with Israel. You know, may we never do this again.
All right.
And an understanding that you know, we can be involved, and we have to get out and get involved. Jonah didn't want to go and talk to the Ninevites. He thought, you know, they were bad, but he was right, but he was wrong. You know, I think about, you know, Brother Ken Kinsomeral, my spiritual father in the Lord, and, you know, he went through a season of something similar to that when the quote hippie movement, unquote, was happening in the 60s, and it was all accurate in saying, you know, it's all the debauchery and all the openness of sin and all these things that were taking place. But, you know, in saying that, hey, you know, we don't need to bring them, we don't need to go to them in a way. And then God put them on a bus with who was a hippie at that time, and he was kind of had a no shirt on. He had like a vest on. And he had, and they were riding on this bus, and he lit up a cigarette. You know, not Brother Ken, but you know, and hippie, and he said, "Do you mind, you know, putting that out or whatever?" Mm-hmm. You know, he's very direct, and and the hippie, the man goes, "No." And so he puts it out, and then and of course, Brother Ken's response was, "Well, nice hippie." You know, but the truth was, in this bus ride, he went from totally feeling like Jonah in regards to Nineveh towards the hippie movement, mm-hmm. to feeling like God, getting God's heart for the people who just happened to be in that season of existence, and they were, you know, sin is sin, mm-hmm. you know, and that God loved those that were in that particular generation, and so he began to open up his doors to his heart to and the people to. Going out, you know, he says he sends us out like sheep amongst wolves, you know, and so he goes back and talks to his congregation, his church, and he tells them, he says, listen, you know, we need to start letting in the hippies and ministering to them, and he says, well, it wasn't hard. I was the only one that wouldn't let them in. And then once they did that, their ministry began to just explode because they were hungry. When you've done everything and you tried everything and you've been everything and you know it's endless, you've been to the end of all those roads, you know that the only hope is God, you know, and you turn to God, you want God, and they would show up and they'd be barefoot and they would be sitting on the front row with a big huge family Bible, you know, those big 5 pound Bibles and stuff. And they just love God. They started a school and trained up missionaries around the world. And today you see people in suits and you see them with nice haircuts. But the truth was, you know, they were part of the hippie movement. They were part of the ones, the free love, free whatever, you know. And, you know, just nothing's holding me back. I'm trying to find myself.
Right.
You know, it's like I did that once and I didn't like it. So I quit looking. I started looking at the cross. And so, but today they're leaders across the land because, you know, Brother Ken heard from God and mm-hmm. responded and got God's heart. And Jonah, you know, after being thrown off of a boat into God, you know, God caught him. Mm-hmm. He caught him with a glove. It just happened to be made of whale skin,
right,
you know,
right.
And he caught him. And as seaweed was wrapped around his head, as he's in the belly of this big fish that we call a whale, he said, maybe I should respond.
You think?
You know, there's people out there right now, you know, that God, you know what you need to do. And you know what needs to be said. And you know that the only hope for this nation and is the church getting to its place and beginning to tell them, you know, that God loves them and God has a plan for their life, but what they're doing is wrong. And they just might believe what the king of Nineveh and everybody else. And God changed his plans. It was like 40 days. It was going to be destroyed. It took 3 days to get across 120,000 people. We're trying to get across a few more.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Lord will give us, you know, more days. But realize this, even though it seems like it's totally over, it's not over with God. You know, they say it's not over to a rather large lady sings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not over till God says it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to encourage you, you know, even if it looks hopeless, maybe you have a family member or you have somebody that you know, you think, oh my goodness, where are they at? But just, you got to understand, just suddenlies. God is a God of suddenlies. And, you know, my own personal salvation came through a suddenly, you know, and you can find out more about it, you know, at meetmyfather.org. But I don't want to take too much time on that. But I was riding down the street at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in, mm-hmm. in a police cruiser.
Right.
But I was in the front seat, not the back.
Right.
You know, and I was a deputy, and God just touched my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe because nobody would have witnessed to me, I don't know, but, you know, and he called me to himself, and I heard his voice, and I was hungry for him, and it was just totally, totally an amazing thing, and so I want to encourage you that don't listen to anybody that says it's over, but definitely listen to the warning, you know, listen to, hey, we got to get back to the ways of God, we got to, and what was so encouraging about Wisconsin was, you know, and they have you have evangelism, and then you have this Tea Party thing that's going, which really not anything else, just people that are across the land saying, you know, we just believe in conservatives. Mm-hmm. We believe that, you know, and the Constitution, go figure, right?
Imagine that, right?
Is that something? The Constitution? Could you ever believe that actually would have been, you know, the thing about this, I truly believe, once the church starts treasuring the Word of God again,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
God's commandments, right, then he'll let people start recognizing again our Constitution. So I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to something when we won't hold on to God. But if we'll hold on to God, I believe God will still bless it, just like he did, if he did Nineveh.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? He will actually do the same for us. So I just want to encourage you this morning. We're going to be sharing you a little bit more God news behind the news, but they call a T-evangelist. A T-evangelist, they're calling them. You know, somebody that's part of this Tea Party movement, somebody that's an evangelist who loves God, who's just standing up for God's right, and they're just shouting to the world and shouting to America, you can stand for God, you can love people, and you can do what's right, and you can love the Constitution, and you can love America. And it's just real exciting to see. That's a very hopeful thing that happened last night. So praise God, and we want to remember to pray for all of our leaders in office, and God commands us, if we want a peaceful life, we need to pray for those in authority over us. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard, and, you know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself, because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm, I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFM radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass, and, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you, or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just.
Isn't it amazing? You can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. And that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that well, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa. You know, it's just he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in feeling a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more.
Oh my goodness, I so love spending time with Steve. He's just a ton of energy and excitement. I can't wait. Also, coming up on VFN Radio, you'll be able to hear about his testimony, you know, and he is a Marine, hoorah, for all the Marine listeners that are out there. And he also served 2 tours of duty in Iraq, and he's a man of God and just a wonderful, wonderful person, and so transparent, so honest. And like I said, sometimes, you know, he smiles so big. My concern is the smile is going to connect, and we don't know what's going to happen. What happens when a smile connects in the back?
Like it falls off.
Oh, your head falls off. Oh, my goodness, you know. I do want to say this, that, you know, we've just opened up our Facebook online for those part of our listening audience that are on Facebook. You can go to, it's called Like Us. You go there, and it's facebook.com/VFNTV. That's V Victor, VFNTV. And when you choose Like Us, from my understanding of this, is that when we actually are able to let you know about upcoming program and what's happening, it will automatically come to your Facebook. And so you don't have to hunt it up. It actually will come to you, which is pretty cool how that works. And that's what Like Us really means. It connects you to VFN TV. And that's for those that are out there, you know, especially our world audience is out there. It's a real good way to be able to do that and to connect as well. Also, follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at VFNTV1.
Right.
VFNTV1. That's Twitter.
Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. Twitter. Thank you very much. Is your mic's turned? Okay, that's good. I do want to say this, too, before we move on, that, you know, I was talking about, just out of the middle of nowhere, you know, I'm sitting here talking about Howard Pittman's book, Placebo. You know, I call it the Placebo Gospel. But the name of his book, I just want a little more details here so you can know, because I started naming numbers, but I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't pull these numbers out. It's called Placebo by Howard Pittman, the book, because I'm talking about, you know, I was talking about the other day about when he was running for sheriff, and he was a minister at a local church, probably about 5 years actually. Mm-hmm. And, but he found out, long story short, and you can find out more by going to the highlights about it, right?
Right.
What's the highlights? What's the highlights?
It's on the mobile app.
On the mobile app. And it's probably called Placebo Gospel, mm-hmm. over the name of the highlight.
Right.
And but with that, you know, he finds out, oh, I thought I was right, but I was wrong. I was very wrong.
Very
but he
wrong.
Also found out, after God explained this to him with a thundering voice, that God is merciful and kind and forgiving. And but with that, remember, he was in heaven, and when he was there in heaven, because he had a heart attack, and he was on the operating table, and he died on the operating table, and he went to heaven. An angel carried him to heaven. He's looking over there at these people that are going towards the throne room, and he knew where the throne room was in heaven. He wasn't in the throne room, but he knew these people were going to the throne room. And he saw about 50 people that were headed towards the throne room. They were being escorted by angels, and he asked the angel that's with him, he said, you know, who are those people? And he says, these are saints. These are ones that are actually gave their hearts to God. And he mm-hmm. says, oh, that's exciting. He was just so excited about that, you know. And he says, that's crazy. And he said, oh, nobody was excited in heaven. They were pretty sad. And he said, well, you know, basically inquired of why. And he said, because 2,000 people just died.
Mm.
2,000 people just died. That means 1,950 people didn't go to heaven. That they went straight to hell, and only 50 made it.
Mm.
And just, I mean, when you can find out about Placebo Gospel, you know, to find out more about you know, what I shared on that. But it's so important to understand that, you know, deception is this. Deception is when you think what you're doing is right, but you're wrong. Mm. And you can write books on why you're right, but you're wrong. You can actually form religion. We're going to talk about that a little bit, about, you know, some God's news behind the news is that, that's what's so scary about deception. You know, we always have our only hope for deception is humility. We got to know that God is our only hope. And humility is defined as total dependency on God and respect for other people.
That's right.
You know, and you gotta obey God over anybody and be open for God's correction. And sometimes, you know, he says, kill the lad. And in the middle of saying, we're going to kill this lad, you know, like Abraham. And so he prints up brochures and he has commercials and he puts up yard signs and he gets up Facebook and all these different things, whatever it is. He's like, we're going to kill the lad. You know, he tells everybody. And then he finally gets to the top of the mountain, Mount Moriah. And then God says what?
Don't kill him.
And, of course, most of America, many people in American ministry would go, don't you understand, God, what this is going to do? Because they have a fear of man.
Right.
I mean, they're not understanding. This had nothing to do with man. It had to do with Abraham and God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that's going on in your life has to do between you and God. When we start putting other people in there and trying to please men, we're not pleasing God. I like what John Bevere says in his book, The Fear of the Lord. Brace yourself if you want to read it. It will give you perspective. You know, we always think that Saul, you know, we would have thought Saul was an obedient man, but mm-hmm. he was 10% disobedient, and God just regretted the day that he ever made him king.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Thank God for Jesus. And so then, you know, understanding deception is that our only hope is Jesus Christ, is to humble ourselves and be ready, you know, to respond to God. And he will ask you to do things to see if you will do them. And once you do them, no matter what anybody says, then he'll see that you fear him and not man. And that's what he wants. And what he told Abraham when he did that, he says, now I see you fear me. Now I'll give you what I was like, now? What do you mean now? Oh, my goodness. Now I have to eat crow, and I'm talking to all these people.
Right.
Like, well, I know I was going to take him out, but, you know, I decided to go ahead and keep him. And so here's the lad. You know, mm-hmm. this is the lad ministry. And so John Bevere says this in his book, The Fear of the Lord. He says, you know, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man. And let me tell you something. Men demand to be feared. You know what I'm saying? But people don't always get what they demand, right?
Right.
It's amazing. Are you serious? Are you serious? Anyway, so he said, you know, he says, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man. If you fear God, you serve God.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fear man and serve God because you serve what you fear. Let me tell you right now, many of you right now that are listening, this very moment, you have a fear of man in your life. And God has called you. He's called you to be activated. He's called you to be trained up and launched into the harvest field. And you will answer alone, by the way. All these men that you fear will not be standing beside you when you stand before the throne room of God. You will stand alone, just like Howard Pittman did. He writes about it in the book Placebo. And so listen, shake all that off. Fear not man, fear God. Don't fear the one that can destroy only your body. Fear the one who can destroy both your soul, your body, and your spirit in hell. So understand this, that many people are held captive by fear. They say they're not afraid. I like what one particular man had on his desk as a minister. He goes, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. And the truth is, I mean, check it out. You find out, you know, because you'll be tested in this. Because when you start following God and you fear God, you know, people will begin to be stirred. Sometimes I believe it's just God orchestrating it to check you. You know, are you really going to follow me over them? You know, and sometimes it's outright people being used by the adversary to take you down.
That's right.
I like Joyce Meyer, she says, God will often use things out of control to bring you in control.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. That's something.
Lord, I hope I'm in control. Lord, 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 Lord. So that was so sad. So find out more about that at the highlights on the VFN TV app. And soon it'll be at VFNTV.com about the placebo, the book Placebo. And you get it. I know that Mike Bickle carries this in his books on maybe online. Mm-hmm. You probably can get it at Amazon.com. I can't remember if it's available there. Probably not. But you probably can get it from IHOP.
Actually, I got it at Amazon.
Right. And also, there's a website here. It's called Lake Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your lake?
It's not my lake.
This is not the lake that I rode my motorcycle by, right?
No.
You know,
that was Spring Lake.
Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. You know, mm-hmm. and Howard's already gone to be with the Lord. And listen, we cannot hold anybody accountable for what happens after we're gone.
Right.
You know, men tend to take things and do things. I don't even know. I'm not saying anything. I don't say anything. But I pretty much know how we ourselves can mess it up. You know, it's the second generation quite often does. By the fifth, it's like, ooh, dude, what was that? So it is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com, LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com, or you can get it at, and it's Hot Springs, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Or you can get it probably at the IHOP.org at the bookstore there. Well, my goodness, we had a wonderful, we're so thankful too for those that in the prayer and fasting community that we had a time of prayer and fasting on Monday, every Monday for 24 hours. I want to let our listeners know if you have a need, a prayer, you know, that you let us know, and you can send that to us by going to VFNTV.com, VFNTV.com, or you can actually send it on our Facebook. You can actually send it there, and they will get it into the prayer community, and we will lift you up. You're very important to us, and we believe that we began a conversation. We're going to start a journey, and we're going to walk together in this journey together. You know, we'll be grateful. We'll be grateful as we stand before the throne of God that we did not let fear hold us captive. We did not sit back and do nothing, and we actually got activated and got involved. Well, I want to be able to take a moment here and talk about, since it's the sixth of the month, and we want to talk about the wisdom, the moment of wisdom today. You know, we always talk about the corresponding moment, you know, corresponding day with a corresponding chapter of Proverbs. You know, above all things, get wisdom. Get wisdom. You know, you can get all the knowledge you want to. I mean, how many people, I don't know what the percentage is right now, but I know when John comes on, he'll let us know because he works with Berkeley in New Jersey, not California. And a very large percentage of college graduates now are leaving with, they got all this knowledge. I mean, they spent 4 years, you know, of college and getting educated for a job.
Right.
And they're not getting employment.
Right.
And you can have all the knowledge in the world, but be broke at the end of it. Actually, big broke because you got student loans and all that stuff, you know, right?
Right.
How much did you pay for that? And the thing about it is that, you know, if you got wisdom, I mean, you know, knowledge and wisdom is beautiful, but if you don't have a lot of knowledge, wisdom is can trump anything. And so, because you know when to be silent, you know when to speak.
That's right.
And so, I remember we were up in New York. John and I were in New York, and I was about to take off, and it was kind of the last show that was happening for Glenn Beck's Fox television show up there, you know, and. John had called they called us up and said they had some tickets available for us to go to one of his last viewings right there. And before he left there and started GBTV. We'll talk about that when he's on the air, but it was a journey getting there. There's no such thing as being in a hurry in New York. I mean, you can be all agitated and stuff, but you're not going to go anywhere. I was like, oh my God. And GPSs. Oh my God. You're getting all those buildings and everything. But it's so funny to watch John's forehead during those times. Love you, man. And so we get there, and it's a special day. Mm-hmm. It's a special day, and you know, we just I just happened to be in town. You know, I was ministering up there in Jersey and in New York, and so I he just wanted to take me to Glenn Beck's show, and but he had college students there that day. He had college students there, and so. It was, the audience was full, you know, three or four rows, you know, it wasn't a big audience, you know, with people who were going to college or about to graduate who had all their student loans. And so we just came on in, we passed the Secret Service that was there at the door. It was like a Secret Service guy at the door and checked us all out, and he gave us all these different things to get in. And, you know, long story short, we ended up right there on the show, and we're sitting in the back row, and all these young college students are around us. You know, we look like two old men. Well, I look like a taller old man, and John looked like a not taller old man. And so we're sitting there standing out like a sore thumb with a deep Southern accent in the middle of New York to top it off. And so we're there, and you know, Glenn, I mean, he's going to be setting these guys up. I mean, you know, it's like, don't bite the bullet. He says, look, this is your moment. You can share anything you want to share. You can share anything you want to share, you know, and he wanted to get the students talking. Mm-hmm. And this is what he said. He said, first he said that question. He said, you can say anything you want. You're going to be on live television. This is time to talk to the world. And of course, I'm like, we're like raising our hands. Like, we're going to tell the world to repent, you know, we're gonna raise our hands up, you know. And there's a commercial break, and you can see Glenn lean down and talk to one of his people right there. And I know what he's probably saying. Who are these two old men in the midst of these college dudes in the back? And it wasn't a really backpack. And John is tugging on my shirt. They're going to throw us out. I'm thinking, man, this is our moment, man. We're gonna let them know it's time to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, the sons of the fathers. The thing is, what God spoke to me in the midst of all these college dudes was that they would rather pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get what fathers could have taught them than have to go through the pain and process of having a father relationship. And the fathers would have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars not to have to do it.
Wow.
But John was pulling on my shirt and saying, you know, we just got to let these college students have it. And it was their moment. And, of course, this is what they said. We're talking about wisdom and knowledge. We're about to talk about today's wisdom.
Right.
Is that he said, how many of you would buy a house sight unseen? And, you know, all these smart, brilliant college students didn't raise their hands.
Right.
And he says, no, listen, it's a real good house. I mean, it's really good. It's $100,000. It's in a real good location. I can't tell you where it is. And I just take my word for it. It's nice. And nobody raised their hands. Not one person raised their hands. And I'm thinking, oh, don't. You're going to get set up, guys. You know, don't do it. And then finally he says, so tell me this. Why in the world would you pay $100,000 for an education for a job you didn't know existed and you don't even know what it looks like?
Mm. Wow.
That's wisdom, folks. That's wisdom. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom says, you know, first get in the workplace a little bit. I mean, you don't appreciate college till you've been in the workplace a little bit. Anyway, once you've been in the workplace, you go, I know why I need this. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know how to do bookwork, but now I know, and type things. And so every student, what could they say at that point? We bought the house for $100,000, $200,000, and we don't even have a house. And they're complaining because they don't have a house. It's like, dude, you know, you didn't. There was no guarantee that you were going to have a job. So wisdom is, you know, get back to the concept of saying, you know what, I'm not. It's not an automatic give me. You know, wisdom says you just should go to college. It doesn't mean you have, you know, a job. Mm-hmm. You know, begin to work your way up. Get involved in a company. Find out if that's the kind of business you want. So many people that got their degrees are not even working in their degrees, you know, and then find out and then get an education if you want it that's appropriate to that work that you want to be in. And that way, I mean, you just, you know, skyrocket. That's like wisdom right there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that was just it's so important to have wisdom. That's why we have the wisdom moment. You want to be able to get the corresponding day. Oh, by the way, they didn't throw us out. You know, we finished up the show. We had to be at Newark Airport in a very short period of time. And again, you cannot rush. Stressful moment. But, oh, no, actually, I had to change my flight. And I ended up going to Texas, and I stayed there with Barbara and the crew and the VFN church. And Barbara picked me up at 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Oh, wow. Bless
it
her
was,
heart.
Oh, no, this was awesome. Wasn't it? It was Barbara, wow. Of all people. Thank you, Barbara. And picked me up, and it was just totally amazing. You know, the family's all over the place, and it's the church being the church. And I slept for, I don't know, about at least 5 minutes, and then got back to the airport, and it was something. We'll be right back after this moment.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10, says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book. but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
iabide.org. You know, I want to also thank Najina, who actually was able to book me a ticket with Continental Airlines when I was able at, when we were there. I canceled my ticket when we were in New York for American Airlines, and it's amazing that American Airlines is called American Airlines, but it just seems like, oh my goodness, I mean, it was just really a challenging flight. You know, it was the only flight that would go to Haiti. You know, so I had a ticket sitting there. You know what I'm saying? But when I was able to call Najina up, and Najina just, you know, worked with Continental, and she immediately just picked it up, booked me a ticket, and allowed me to be able to go to spend that time with John and see Glenn and all up there. So I just want to give a shout out to Najina this morning. I'm excited. I saw the graduation of your boys. That was just so cool to watch watch your son graduate, and it's amazing how he's grown up so much, you know, from all the years right there. We love you, and This morning we're going to talk about now is our wisdom moment. Our wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 6, because remember, it's the sixth of the month, and we always do a corresponding chapter. But you want to listen to it, or you want to read it, but we're not going to read the whole chapter of Proverbs, but you want to do that, you know, every day, you know, get wisdom. You don't want to be like those students that were sitting on Fox TV, you know, realizing we just bought a $100,000 house and don't have one. You know, people are complaining about their mortgages being upside down. You think about it. How many college students' life is upside down because they went and bought a house? I mean, they're way upside down. They have all the debt with no job.
All right.
I want to encourage you not to sell out because of that. Realize that God, we have sort of a debt counseling God. And don't sell out your values, you know, based on that. But this morning, this is our wisdom moment. It's from Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. It reads, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Oh, think about that. Oh my goodness. You know, and if you're worried about poverty, if you're worried about, you know, being in debt, you're worried about, you know, the last thing you need to be doing is sleeping in. And it's interesting that, you know, some people, you know, that are really needing to break loose and get, you know, a provision and a job and all that, they're in bed. They're watching television. Yeah, I guess they're waiting for the next commercial that says, get your job here. You know,
right.
Actually, it's probably at college going, come and get your education. Why? Is there a job at the end of it? You know?
Yeah, right.
And he says, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. But you think of like a bandit. A bandit is a robber that comes on you. And so a robber is somebody who doesn't wave at you and go, hey, by the way, I'm about 10 feet behind you, and I'm about to grab you around the neck. I'm going to choke you, you know, like Cowboy Bob Kelly, for those that remember. And I'm going to choke you, and I'm going to reach my hand in your back pocket, and I'm going to take your wallet and your money, and then I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to run with your stuff. And so I'm a bandit, and this is what's going to happen. That's not how it works. How it works is, you're walking along, and all of a sudden, you're being choked out. Your money's gone. Everything's gone. You're robbed,
right?
You know, and you can't predict this bandit. I mean, in other words, you could be walking along in your life, you know, slumbering, sleeping, folding your hands, you know, and all of a sudden, this guy named poverty is going to overtake you, you know. And I think about it, you know, that's just the entitlement spirit across the land. It's like that's what's happening in the land, which means, you know, that's why Greece is falling as we speak, and we'll be talking about France in just a little bit. That that poverty's overtaking them, and they are demanding more to be given to them for less of their investing into them. And they don't have the money to give them. And, you know, like a 4-day work week and all this different stuff. And, right. and it's like, it sounds great, you know, in the context of our flesh. But in regards to God, that's not what God has. God's designed the universe. It's not how he's designed the earth, and it's not how he's created us. He says a little sleep, a little slumber. That's what wisdom says.
Right.
You know, and you think about, you know, the Thessalonian talks about that. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he warns us about idleness. We're talking about wisdom. So I want to read from that too. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. He's writing, he says, this is Paul writing to the Thessalonica. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings. Man. That's another topic. And so it's like, you don't bring me flowers anymore. It's like, dude, I was just reading Thessalonians. And it said, he says, let me do it again. I'm going to read it again so we can have it in context. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. That's so important. You know, if you're a father and a mother, you know, your parents, you're a shepherd, a pastor, a leader, a boss, a supervisor, you need to set that example as a Christian. He goes on to say, we were not idle when we were among you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So Paul would actually just pay for it. How much do I owe you for that?
Right.
Isn't that something? On the contrary, we worked night and day laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any one of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Think about that. But when an entitlement spirit, you know, is that slumbering spirit that just says, you owe me what? Poverty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bandit's going to take you down. You know, it's going to take you down. And he finally goes on to say, if anyone does not obey your instruction in this letter, take special note of him and do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. And that's what Proverbs is warning us this morning in wisdom. He said, you know what? You know, we got to get involved in our life. We cannot sit around. Even at the fact, you know, that you may have, you know, a disability. You may have, you know, and you're not able to do a lot like a typical, you know, job situation that would require you physically to do something. But you can do something. I mean, there are so many. As a matter of fact, I think in America, there's more jobs of inactivity than there are. As a matter of fact, I think they said on the news yesterday, one of the biggest issues is going on that most Americans are sitting around at their jobs. They're not active. They're getting treadmills down that actually coincide with the desk. Maybe you can get one of those, huh?
You like?
No, more so me. So we're coming to, you know, VFN radio today. And I'll shoot off the back of the treadmill. And so, but they're actually putting treadmills at their desks because it's so unactive. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the fact is that even with disabilities, you can work. You know what I'm saying? You can do something. You can volunteer. But if you're idle, you know, poverty's going to take you like a bandit. And right now, you know, America's demanding some things that it can't pay for. And if we're working, if we're busy, you know, and it doesn't mean that you're actually getting paid what everybody's getting paid, but hey, you're working before God, God will bless you and he'll expand that which you have. But even if you don't have a job, you know, you can make a job of getting a job. You know, when I was looking for a job, when I was switching from a particular company that I was working for that I found that it wasn't a good company and mm-hmm. I left it, it was making very good money, right. But it was making it the wrong way. So I had to leave it. That what I did was, you know, I just trusted God because I did what was right there. And for 40 hours a week, I made getting a job my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got up at a set time. I got dressed. You know, I looked in the different things that you look for resources and jobs. And I made a job out of getting a job. And I was either going to get a job or I was going to form a business, but I wasn't going to be idle because you become idle. You know, it takes you over. You cannot be still. We're not designed that way. We're creative beings. You know, God's called us to be active, and you'll just disintegrate. You'll just deteriorate. Atrophy will set in your hope and your vision and your mind and your walk. And you need to be active. You need to be doing something. And so I encourage you, and the wisdom today from Proverbs chapter 6 is that you don't want to be idle. You want to get involved. And of course, if you're a believer, you know, there's plenty to do in the kingdom of God. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can love your neighbor. You can go help them get groceries. You can just do something, least you do nothing. Let God see that, you know, you're getting involved, you know, in the activities, and that God will bless you with that, right?
Right. Amen.
That's totally something that, well, you know, I just want to, I'll take a moment now. You know, I had Steve Kaliseski join us in the studios, and I want you to hear his testimony. It's just a powerful, powerful testimony, and I just want you to hear. I think you're going to be blessed. And those that are in the military, maybe you're a vet that you're coming back, you know, from overseas, and you're trying to integrate back into American culture. And we're sorry about how America's acting right now, but you can really relate. God can relate to you, and I want you to be able to hear Steve Kaliseski's testimony about when. He gave his life to where God met him. It's pretty cool. Just one moment.
Well, Steve, we're so glad to have you in the VFN Radio studios today.
Good to be here.
Steve Kaliseski here with us in the studios, and I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I just want to talk to you today, you know, as a Marine, you know, and you know, there's so many Marines and Navy and Army and Air Force that are just – are where you are, you know, when you came back from serving our country. And first I want to say that I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your service. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for your sacrifice. I'm grateful for every patrol you took. I'm grateful for all those things that you went through and all the dust that you swallowed and all the pain that you've experienced and the loss of close friends that you were willing to do that for us. And it means so much to me, and I'm so thankful, and I know that words are really, you just don't put words on it, but you do need to hear that we're grateful. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful to all those that have stood up for our rights in our country, and no matter what people say, you know, I'm grateful for you. And I know that many of our listeners right now are very grateful. But I want to say this, you know, sometimes you have, when you're coming back from this high intensity, you know, everything's just, you're on edge, you know, and coming from, you know, as we were talking about my law enforcement experience, you know, you're like chasing bad guys and all this kind of stuff. And then you come home and say, would you like a cup of coffee? You know, like, this doesn't compute, you know, it doesn't compute. And you have to kind of adjust yourself and kind of share. I mean, you know, it all started with needing more ranch dressing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, because it's so... Are we really worried about something so minor when so many major things are going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to this man or woman that served our country, and they're trying to come back, and they're looking at a people that is totally disconnected with the reality of how things really are, and they're talking about minor things, but they need somebody that connects with them that understands that God understands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And God can meet you. Can you talk to them right now?
Well, it's hard to try to have other people empathize in a situation that they didn't experience, and I couldn't figure that out, and the hardest thing about going in the Marine Corps was getting out and coming back home. And it's amazing how America, you see America with a totally different set of eyes after you go overseas, you know, and you see children barefoot, you know, haven't bathed in weeks. You give them a soccer ball and it's like giving an American an Escalade or a 4,000 square foot house. But a child is genuinely happy. And, you know, you come back to America and, you know, it's hard to empathize with people complaining about, you know, what somebody said on a talk show host.
Yes, it's
or a talk show or
embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Or you know, missing a phone call.
Yeah.
And
or text not moving fast enough.
Yeah. And you know, in the teams when I operated, you know, we had rules, and the rules were don't get shot.
It's a good rule.
If you get shot, or if you get shot at, just shoot back.
Yeah, that's another good rule.
Don't die. That was it. And, yeah. You know, take care of your gear. Gear take care of you. Clean your rifle. That's it. Right. And it's amazing how you come back home, and it's just like, how do you operate?
That doesn't work in outside of a war zone, does it?
No, because there was no self over there. The mission wasn't done until, you know, you were back in front of the lines, all gear was up and accounted for, and, you know, all packs were accounted for. You know, everybody was here. We knew where everybody was. Vehicle was cleaned. Rifles were cleaned. We sent up the report to, you know, a platoon sergeant, and we were good to go. It's like, okay, now you can go get something to eat. Now you can go take a shower. And, you know, we're plagued with such a selfish mindset in our culture that, team is just not taught.
That's right.
It's just individuality. It's just me first.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out of the Marine Corps, you know, it was just something else that God used to bring me to himself. And when I got out, I just didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't talk to my family. I couldn't talk to my friends, because they're like, you know, well, we want to help you. And I'm like, I want to help me. Get in line.
Right, right.
And I didn't know who to talk to.
Right.
You know, I couldn't talk to people. And then even the guys that I operated with, it was hard, because it was just like, you know, you're talking to them and it's just like, okay, now how do I go back and try to operate as a civilian now? Because all I want to do is be back overseas. And
right.
When you're overseas, all I want to do is be back home. And it's just,
right.
I couldn't compute. Like, I was, all of a sudden I was trying to digest. It was like everything started to come back to reality. It was just like, okay, what just happened over the last 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you get trained up so efficiently that when something happens, you don't think, you just react.
Right.
You know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, who to tell what it is that you're doing, and a timeline to get there. So people don't die.
Right.
You know, when you train, you know, mistakes happen.
Mm.
When mistakes happen in war, people die.
That's right.
So I just had a very hard time coming back home and how to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what did God, how did God meet you? What happened? Yeah. I mean, how did, because men can't fix that, but God, God understands, he empathizes, doesn't he? Totally. Yeah.
So I waited tables all through high school and college. So when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was just like, I'll just go back and just do what I did before. I don't know what else to do.
You're shooting, you're defending the country, you're you know, riding in Humvees, you're the tip of the spear, mm-hmm. and you come back and the very Americans that you were fighting for,
mm-hmm.
you were serving them at their table.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who didn't, well, not everybody, I mean, they're the people, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And now you're serving them.
Yeah. And I was actually, I was working at a restaurant locally here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was going through post-traumatic stress disorder. I was going through, you know, talking to psychiatric help, talking to mm-hmm. VA representatives, and VA meaning Veterans Affairs. And I was just a mess. Mm-hmm. I was just not doing well. And I was trying to put on the mask of just like, oh, right. You know, I'm, and this one night I was working a double. And a double means like a back-to-back shift. I work an opening shift, and then I worked a closing shift.
Being a waiter or waitress, single is a big deal.
Right.
A double is like really a big deal.
Right. And I had told my boss many times before not to put me on the patio. And being in the patio at this restaurant, it was you got like 10 tables, and they just seat them all at once, and it was just like chaos. And I had no patience. And I kept telling him, like, stop putting me out there. I'm like, this is not – so anyways – I get put on the patio one night, and very busy night, and I'm just starting to just unravel, and being very impatient, and I'm working on this table. It's like a 6 or 8 top, meaning like there's 8 people at this table, and this old elderly lady, she's probably like 65, just goes off the handle. I mean, she just starts shouting at me, and she's pointing at me, and she is literally screaming. In her chair, looking up at me and screaming. And
she did not have a clue, did she? That was not the thing to do.
Yeah. I just snapped.
Yeah.
You know, for 28 years, I was trying to hold together every problem and,
yes,
you know, cry in my life.
Well, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Stay tuned to the extra hour today as we're going to be finishing up an awesome, awesome time with Steve Kalaszewski, a Marine who served our country in Iraq. So don't miss it on the extra hour today. We will pick up right where we were in the interview.